Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone on this sunny but blustery morning. Apparently that's what I get for saying it was unseasonably warm last Sunday. Glad to see everyone here this morning. We'd like to welcome any visitors that we may have. If you are a first-time visitor and you'd like some information about the church, just see one of the ushers in the back and they'll be glad to get you a brochure that tells you a little bit about the church. For everyone here, we ask that you fill out an attendance card just so that we know that you are here. And a special welcome for anyone listening in via our audio ministry. As always, there are several announcements located in your bulletin. I encourage you to take a look at them so you know what is going on throughout the week and the month. And I do have a couple of special ones to draw your attention to. First of all, there will be a worship team meeting next Sunday immediately after the service. That's a worship team meeting. And second of all, Cindy James and Jim Garn have both asked me on more than one occasion to remind you about the upcoming spaghetti dinner on February 18th. My understanding is they're hoping to raise enough money to pick up Miguel Cabrera from the Tigers as their new first baseman. Little iffy, I'm guessing, but we'll see what we can get. Tickets are $5 a piece, but you are more than welcome to donate as much as you like. They'll be more than willing to take it. And Cindy did mention that also they will have not only the traditional red sauce, but an Alfredo sauce as well. So if you don't want the tomato sauce, you'll have that option. So see them for tickets. Again, that is February the 18th. And if there are no further announcements, I encourage you to prepare your hearts for worship as we listen to the introit. Now, if you would please stand and join me in the call to gathering. For the living of these days, let us heed promptings of possibility.
Let us know creativity and compassion.
Let us be poised for flight on soaring wings of faith and love. Now, if you remain standing, we'll sing gathering hymn number 21, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Thank you.
please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord, as we come together today as one family in Christ, help us to remember the joy and love of being your children. We thank you for taking us in and making us yours, for showing us grace and compassion. We join together as one spirit and one voice, saying the prayer your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you please turn to one another and greet each other with the peace of Christ. And now you can remain seated as we sing hymn 428, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy, as the children come forward.
There. How are you today? Good. I like your pink bows. And how are you today, sweetheart? What's your name?
I'm Audrey.
You're Audrey. And what's your name?
Sammy.
Sammy? Nice to have you with us, Sammy.
That's my cousin.
She's your cousin? How neat. What's your first name?
Gabe.
Gabe. Oh, I love that name. Did you know is your full name Gabriel?
Yes.
Did you know that's the name of an angel? Yes. Are you an angel? I'll bet you are. I wanted to ask you a question. Why do people give you presents?
Because it's Valentine's Day.
Well, maybe.
They want to be nice.
They want to be nice. Okay, that's one reason. Why might someone give you a present? Why would somebody give you a present? Why do you get presents?
Because it was from Christmas.
Because it was from Christmas, so maybe it was a Christmas present. How about you, Gabe? Why might somebody give you a present?
Because of your birthday.
Because of your birthday? What about you, Evelyn? Why might somebody give you a present?
Because it was your
birthday. Mm-hmm, maybe. Why might somebody give you a present? Just to be nice to you? Maybe... To make you feel good. That's a great reason. And all of those, usually, whether it's a birthday, Christmas, special day, an anniversary for somebody who's married, or maybe because they like you, or it's just maybe Valentine's Day or Easter, whatever, usually people give you presents because they love you. It's a way to show people that you love them. Now, sitting over here in this row over here, this lady with the brown hair and the red shirt, her birthday was yesterday. And I know for a fact that the day before her birthday, she got a wonderful surprise. When she got to work, there were flowers waiting for her. Now, who do you think might have given her those flowers?
You.
No. That would be lovely, but it wasn't me. Who do you think? Go ahead.
Her husband.
Her husband. And I wanted to show you something that a friend of mine gave me when I was in, remember I was in Mexico in January, remember? And when I was there, I met a wonderful, wonderful person. I'd never met her before, and her name is Alejandra. Can you say that? Alejandra. In Spanish, it's the same as for us, the name Alexandra. Have you ever known anybody whose name is Alexandra or the Alexander? Do you have any friends named Alex? That's short for Alexander or Alexandra.
I last year, mm-hmm. I had the janitor and his name was Zach.
Oh, good. Well, Alejandra is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and she loves Jesus so, so much. And she makes everybody feel good, and she is just a wonderful woman, and she teaches in a school where they teach both Spanish and English. And when I went there, she was the first real person that was my friend when I got there. She made me feel comfortable, and she showed me all around the town so I wouldn't feel alone. Anyway, when we were getting ready to say goodbye to each other, it was very sad. We were both crying a little bit because I was going to miss her very much because it will be a long time before I see her again. And so she made this for me. Isn't that pretty? She made that. Now see, it's really a plain glass plate, and then she put some plaster of Paris, which is kind of like a pasty, and then she put all these little pieces of broken glass in there to make this beautiful plate. And part of what makes it special isn't just that she made it, but these are her favorite colors and my favorite colors, green and blue. And so this is very special to me, and I have it down in my office, and it really means a lot to me because every time I look at it, I remember who made it, and I remember how much I love Alejandra and how much she loved me because she gave it to me.
And it's white, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of bluish white, isn't it? And so I wanted to share this with you because Valentine's Day is coming up, and we talk about Valentine's Day like it's lovey-dovey and you give stuff special to people that you love and all that kind of stuff. Do you have any girlfriends, Brandon? We'll pretend Dad's not watching. You have any girlfriends you want to tell us about? Your mom, Miss Becky. But, you know, we can love people any time of the year. And we don't always even have to give them gifts like this or candies like at Valentine's Day or flowers. Even a hug can tell somebody you love them. And you know what for us was the greatest gift ever given? What do you think was the greatest gift that was ever given to us as people on the earth? Well, that's a good one.
But a kiss?
Close. God gave us the best gift ever because God gave us Jesus, who came and showed us all about God and all about love and died for us and rose again. And so when you maybe sometimes think nobody loves you, or maybe you get a little sad because some friend hurts your feeling or whatever, you know, you can remember, just like I remember Alejandra when I look at this, anytime you look at the cross or a heart or anything like that, or you feel lonely, you can always remember that there's one person who loves you more than anything, and that's Jesus. Okay? Now, I do have something for you, and I'm going to give them to Miss Becky, and there's probably enough for three or four each of them in here, but you don't have to give them to them all at once. So I got some little hearts for you, some little chocolate hearts for you, okay? And that's to remind you not only that Jesus loves you, but that I love you too, okay? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you for these children and for their love and for the way in which you give us the strength and the power and the example by your Son, Jesus, of how we can truly love one another. And Lord, that Jesus teaches us that no matter how lonely we feel or how unloved we might feel by others, you always love us. Bless these children today and this week ahead. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Miss Audrey, would you give those to Miss Becky to take downstairs? Okay, thank you. You can go. Oh, I'm okay. I'm not that old yet, Becky. Close, but not that old. Love is the greatest gift, is it not? Sometimes when we feel like we have nothing left, love is the thing that we can give that doesn't cost us anything, that doesn't really take a whole lot of effort. And yet on God's part, loving us took an awful lot of effort. And for that, we are grateful. And so this morning, as the ushers come, as you look around and see all the red that reminds us of the love that will be expressed not only today but throughout this week, remember how much God loves you and return with joy your gifts and tithes and offerings to Him. Will the ushers come forward to receive those gifts this morning? Thank you. Let us pray together. Gracious and almighty God, we are so blessed for whether it's the whole world or our families or just one person who loves us. Beyond all of those, we can trust and hope and know that you love us more. As Eugene has so beautifully played, give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. Lord, thank you for your amazing gift. Bless now our gifts and us as givers to the service of your kingdom, the fulfilling of your gospel, and the needs of those around us. May this be so, in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Majesty and glory.
Hallelujah, indeed. Thanks be to God. We have an opportunity now to go before the Lord with our joys, our celebrations, our concerns, our cares. And as we do so, may our hearts be lightened by knowing that we give our thoughts and concerns to a God who cares for us. This morning, I do have some things I want to share with you. Again, I always draw attention to the names in your bulletin and hope that you take that bulletin home with you and remember to lift up these people in your prayers as you go throughout the week. In addition to the ones mentioned in your bulletin, I do have a few other requests and concerns and sharings that I would like to share with you this morning. Michael is asking us to be in prayer for the Bay City family who recently lost their home to fire. And also on a national way, many of you were probably surprised to know of the death of a famous singer, Whitney Houston, who died last night or yesterday. And we want to remember her loved ones in our prayers. Sharon Schultz is asking us to remember her daughter-in-law's father. That would be your son's wife's father. And he is having some heart issues. Does he have a first name, Sharon? Joe. So we want to remember Joe in our prayers. And then David Quinnan is giving a thank you to God and also to us for all the prayers that were said on behalf of his wife's family, the Verhage family. And we want also to express our concerns and condolences to your wife and to her family at their loss. Christine is, last week we were so happy and thrilled. She had received a granddaughter into her midst by the name of Mia, but Mia has been hospitalized, and she's been there since Wednesday, is that right, Christine? And she is doing a little better. We want to thank God for that, but also remember to keep her in our prayers. So that's Mia, and we want to remember her in our prayers. Kelsey has both a praise and a thank you, God, this morning. Apparently she was involved in an accident. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that, Kelsey, but not, I'm sure, out of the realm of understanding on Friday. If any of you were out in the midst of that horrible weather we had Friday, even just getting from the church that afternoon for me to out on 52 and 46, I slid through two different red lights and want to give praise to God that the people around me saw that I wasn't stopping. But in Kelsey's case, there was an accident. We want to thank God that you were not injured, and nor was anybody else who was around you. So thank you for sharing that, and we're glad you're here with us today, Kelsey. And thank God for the watch care over us. I had a friend who was traveling up north from the area above Clare to Owosso on Friday afternoon, and they saw 50, 60 accidents on 127, and as many of you know, large portions of 75 were closed down. It was a horrendous afternoon. Even though it was just the slightest bit of snow, the ice caused many, many accidents, and we want to just give thanks to God for his watch over those of us who were traveling that day. Jim is bringing to your attention, but I would like to also, those of you who are on the prayer chain probably already know this, and I want to give you thanks and also thank God for the prayers that have already been said and for God's watch care already over my father. My father was hospitalized on Thursday with just cold symptoms, which they thought might have been going into pneumonia. But by Friday afternoon, he was doing a little better. But he was eating his meal on Friday evening and choked and then aspirated into his lungs and vomited. And then he lost his breath and his heart stopped. And they revived him from that. But since that time, he's been on a ventilator. Is still in stable condition, but is still in a intensive care unit. And so I would covet your prayers on his behalf. And I do appreciate those prayers that have already been said and the many people who've asked me and expressed your concerns. I appreciate that more than you will ever know. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, as we have sung this morning, we give you praise for the majesty and glory of your name. For Lord, whether we are in distress, whether we are grieving, whether we are hurt and sick, whether we are angry, whether we are shouting with joy, whether we are celebrating birthdays or good times together, the mere mention of your name grounds us, brings us back to the foundation of our faith and the awareness and knowledge of your love and mercy for us. Indeed, Almighty God, the majesty and glory of your name is that to which we return when we come before you in prayer. And so today, Creator God, Christ our Messiah, and Spirit of Comfort, we pray to you. First of all, bringing to you, Almighty God, those things that weigh heavily upon our hearts. We remember those who grieve in this day, for those who have lost loved ones, for the Verhage family, for the family of Whitney Houston, for the family of all those who grieve this day and this week. Almighty God, we call on your name for those who are suffering, for those who serve our country and are alone or lonely or in danger or feel fear. For those who have concerns upon their heart, O God, we ask that they will remember your name and its majesty and glory. And as they say it, may they know that their heart's concerns, their illnesses, their sicknesses, their fears and worries, all can be sent to you, and you hold them and care for them. Lord, for Mia, for my father, for those who await your hand of healing, we give them into your hand and know that you will care for them. For Joe, for all others, we lift up them into your care. And Lord, the majesty and glory of your name, as we say it, reminds us that you watch over us. In times of danger, as some of us experienced on Friday in that weather, we know that, as Kelsey knows and I know, you watch out for us, and we give you praise. We thank you, Almighty God, for birthdays, for celebrations, for this week in which many will express their romantic love and other ways of love. The majesty and glory of your name, Almighty God, reminds us of your love, love that goes beyond and above anything that we can ever imagine. And in that love, Almighty God, we offer all these prayers and all these things through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Receive our prayers, O God. May this be so. Amen. The scripture reading for this morning can be found in the epistle, the letter, entitled 1 John, found in your New Testament towards the back, right before the book of Revelation. If you are reading from your own Bible, it's in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. If you are reading from the Pew Bible, you can find it in the New Testament section, page number 1185. Again, reading from the epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, Almighty God, and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you. For you alone are our strength, our rock, our Redeemer. May this be so. Amen. Any of you speak Greek? Thank you, Jan. Frank, you don't speak any Greek? You swear in Greek. Is that a statement or a confession that we need to pray for Frank? I don't speak Greek either. I did study it, but I can't speak it, and the Greek I studied, they don't speak anymore. Ancient Greek is not the same as the Greek that the Greek people of Greece speak today. It is the basis of their current language, but it is not what they speak, but it is the language of the New Testament. And in the New Testament, in the language of the Greeks from so long ago, they use four different Greek words to define love. As some of you, I'm sure, because you've been in the church a long time, are familiar with some of these, so I will briefly just speak to you about them. One of the words for love in the Old Greek language is the word storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, storge. It can most easily, or probably most properly, be translated into our language as the word affection. Storge, affection, love. It represents that kind of love that is somewhat generic in sense. It is that natural affection that you might have, particularly that kind of affection that a parent might have for a child. It is also the kind of love that we feel in general for those to whom we are related. Parents, siblings, aunts and uncles, grandparents, storge, love, affection. The second kind of love that is named in Greek is philia. It is the word from which we get our English word Philadelphia, brotherly love, sibling love, sisterly love. Philia, love. It means the kind of love that we have as friends, an affectionate kind of love related to a good friend. It is a dispassionate, virtuous kind of love. It was developed by the Greek philosopher Aristotle. It's a kind of loyalty kind of love to friends and family and even community. Philia. That's why Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love, while that may or may not be true. The next kind of love that the Greeks displayed or talked about was the word eros, E-R-O-S. It is the word from which we get our word erotic. It is that passionate love, the love that lovers have between one another, romantic love, the kind of love that you feel when you first fall in love with someone. It's passionate. It's sensual. It was most often used by the philosopher Plato. Eros is that kind of initial excitement kind of love that you feel when you first meet someone, particularly someone of the opposite sex. And then there is the word in the Greek, agape. It may be the word that is most often used in the New Testament. It is the word that we as Christians are most familiar with. It is the love that we most often relate to God. It is the word we use to describe fellowship meals, the meal in which Jesus shared with his disciple those last wonderful moments of foot washing and sharing of bread and cup. agape, love, unconditional love, a love that says, I love you without any conditions. My love for you goes beyond any conditions that I might express to you. In other words, you don't have to do this, 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 and this for me to love you. There are no conditions to my love. You can do this, this, this against me, and I will still love you. Agape love, the kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that Jesus had for his disciples, and to this day for us, enough to allow him to go to the cross on our behalf. Even today in modern Greek, this word is used. It's pronounced agapo, agapo, coming from the word agape, true love, everlasting love. When I was in Mexico, believe it or not, I experienced all four of these types of love, many of them within the first 8 hours of my arrival there. I think that's why it was so hard for me to leave there. As much as I wanted to come home and be with you and be with my family, it was very difficult for me to leave there because of the love I experienced there. I experienced in those first 8 hours of those 23 days there, every single one of these forms of love. When I first arrived at the airport, I had already been traveling for 12 or more hours. I was tired. I was all of a sudden in a country where I did not speak the language. I do speak a very, very minimal amount of Spanish, but primarily not anywhere near as fast as they speak it. And mine is un poquito, means very little. When I arrived at the airport, I had no idea where I was going, picked up my luggage, went through customs, and went through all of that procedure, and I was not afraid, but I was alone, and I had no one to interpret for me. I knew through Facebook that there was a woman who I had never met. I had seen her picture on Facebook, one picture of her. She was a friend of a friend that I was going to spend my time with. Her name was Vicky, and all I knew was that she was a missionary who lived in the town where I landed. She and her husband are missionaries in a different, they're an independent missionary organization not related to American Baptist, but they are close friends with our missionaries, our American Baptist missionaries who live in La Paz. They live in Cabo San Jose, which is down on the tip of the Baja Peninsula. Vicky and her family live there, and Vicky and I had made contact through Facebook, but I had never met her, and I knew she was coming to the airport anyway to deliver her daughter, who was traveling back to the United States. But I was there alone, and I knew there was a little bit of a time difference between when my flight landed and when they would arrive to drop off their daughter, Elise. So I was a little nervous about what this meeting would be like because I'd never met her, and she didn't know me from anybody else other than just being introduced by this mutual acquaintance. And yet, when I sat, I got there a little early, and I went through customs. I grabbed all my bags, which were pretty heavy. I went outside into the beautiful sunshine of southern Mexico, and there I sat. I went around, and I looked around. I couldn't see anybody that looked like they were looking for me. So I sat down on the cement with my luggage and waited. And it wasn't too long, and I saw someone get out of a van. And I don't know why, but as that person walked toward me, I knew it was her. And so she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, Laura Lee, and I said, Vicky, and we automatically knew each other. And she was the most delightful woman. And I took my luggage, they loaded it up in their van, we unloaded her, Elise's luggage, and I went with them, and it was like I became one of the family. It was that storge kind of love, you know, that sort of initial greeting and friendly kind of generic, but still love. And I watched as they sent their daughter off back to the U.S. and shed a few tears, saying goodbye. And it's interesting, in Mexico, When you go through, when you get your luggage checked to go to out of Mexico into another country, they go through it about three or four times before you actually get on the plane. But when they first go through it, the whole family goes. Because, you know, here, when you get to the counter, when you get to the point where they're going to check your luggage, no one else can go with you. I mean, that's the end of, you say goodbye, basically. Ray kissed me at the curb and took off, and I was on my own. Well, in Mexico, the family goes through customs. I mean, they go through all this stuff with you, and they, you know, there's people looking in your luggage, and mom and dad, and your chat, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's this big family event. You know, it's like going to a picnic. You go to the airport and you have a good time and you get your luggage checked and then you say goodbye and you cry and it's wonderful. And I felt that right away with Vicky and her family. After Elise went on her way, they took me to another part of the terminal, and thank God for Vicky, through her Spanish, fluent Spanish, they got me on a bus. And that bus ride was a three-hour bus ride from Cabo San Jose to La Paz. And again, I was alone, and I was sitting up front with the bus driver, who spoke as little English as I spoke Spanish. But we had a little bit of a time together, and it was okay, and it was a very long, windy journey. All I knew was at the other end of the journey, it would be pretty much dark, and I was to meet someone there whose name was Susu. All I knew about Susu was that she and her husband owned a bed and breakfast in La Paz. They were Americans, and that was about all I knew. I had no idea what she looked like, and wasn't sure whether or not she would know exactly what time I was getting there. So I got off the bus. Everybody else who was on the bus with me, and it was kind of a minivan kind of thing. Everybody else had rides or taxis or something. I was waiting for Susu, that I didn't know what she looked like. Again, I got off the bus, grabbed all my luggage, and I was standing there, and this beautiful young woman with blonde hair approached me. And that's pretty much a sign. When you're in Mexico, anybody blonde is probably not Mexican. And she came walking up to me with this beautiful little boy in tow. And she said, "Are you Laura Lee?" And I said, "Yes." "Are you Susu?" She said, "Yes." Picked up my luggage, took me off. We got in her little truck, and off we went. Again, about another 20 minutes or so to the place where I was to stay. Again, I experienced storge love. But I want to tell you something more about Susu. Susu and Milton have lived in Mexico for a number of years, probably 20 or more. They have two beautiful children. And their youngest is a little boy by the name of Arthur. And Arthur is under 3 years old. And they adopted him down there. And when they adopted him, they did not know it, but he has cerebral palsy, pretty severely. He is the most beautiful little boy. Every time your eyes meet his smile takes over his entire face. And one time during Bible study, Susu was sharing with us that when they adopted him and discovered that he had cerebral palsy, many people told them what a horrible life they were going to have with him, how difficult it was going to be. And I imagine there were also those who wondered whether or not they should just give him back. And with tears in her eyes, she related to the group of us who were there at that particular day in Bible study, how while she and her husband anticipated that they would be the ones who would have to give unconditional love to Arthur, it was him who showed and demonstrated to them what true unconditional love is all about. And all you have to do is look at this little boy and see his smile, and you know the love of God. So I experienced storge love. I experienced agape love. When I arrived at the home where I was to stay for my 23 days there, I met Alejandra. You heard me share with the children, Alejandra, a little bit about her. She is a young, beautiful woman. She stands about 4'10", probably in high heels. She is the most beautiful young woman. She will talk your ear off. She loves God and Jesus just about more than almost anyone I've ever met. She is delightful. She is wise. She loves children. And she is a beautiful servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the most humble way. When I got to the home where I was going to stay, all I knew was I was going to meet Alejandra. Again, I knew nothing about her, nothing about what she looked like. And as a matter of fact, when Susu picked me up, she said, you know, I don't know who's going to be at the house. I know there are two Alejandras in the missionaries' lives that they know, but I don't know which one it is that you're going to meet. I'm like, okay. We got there and the door opened and Alejandra jumped out. Oh, I'm so, gave me a great big hug and a kiss. And she was so glad we were there and hugged Susu and helped me in with my luggage, showed me around, made me tea, sat me down, offered me food. And from that moment on, she was just the most dear and wonderful young woman. She shared with me over the next 23 days both filial love, that is sisterly, kind, gentle, generous love, and she showed me agape love. And not just to me. I found in her the kind of love that was unconditional, that was beyond storge, beyond philia, beyond eros. It was unconditional love. And then when David and Joyce, my missionary friends, arrived, I found all four kinds of love. David and Joyce had known Ray and I for over 25 years. We had met in seminary, but had been separated for the last many, many years because they have been serving in the mission field for the last 12 years in Mexico, and we have been serving here. They exemplify for me eros love, that romantic, wonderful love that they share for one another, demonstrated as we would walk on the beach, and David at one point would look over to her and he said, "My hand's empty." And he would reach out and she would grab his hand. I saw storge love in them as they met various strangers, Mexican and others, and welcomed them as friends. And in their love for their children, I saw filial love in the group of English-speaking people they met in their own church and loved and cared for. And through their ministry of unconditional, selfless love on the mission field, I saw the very love of God, agape. In this letter that John writes, we read of these loves. We read these words. First of all, in verses 7 and 8, we read that God is love. That if we want to know what love is, we have to know God. It might very well be possible to know erotic, eros kind of love. It might even be possible to know storge love. It might even be possible to know philia love, the love of friends, sisters, and brothers. But to know agape, unconditional love, one must know God. John tells us, "Dear friends, let us love God, for love comes from God. It is the source of love." And he makes a distinction here, and he gives us a pretty simple way of knowing who belongs to God and who understands that kind of whole, unconditional agape love when he says this: if you love others, then, and if you love God, then you know love. But if you hate, if you do not love, then you do not know God. Because love and hate cannot exist together. God is love. In verses 9 and 10, the writer says that God's love is demonstrated in Jesus. That is, if we want to know what love looks like, if we want a demonstration of what love is really all about, we have to know and look at Jesus. Jesus is God's earthly demonstration of what love, unconditional agape love, is all about. And what is that? What is that demonstration? It's the demonstration of a man who came to this world, who suffered all the kinds of things that we did and even more, who came willingly when he didn't have to, a man who came to teach and love, to heal and restore, to bring wholeness, a man who washed his disciples' feet, a man who suffered and went to a cross without any sin on our behalf and loved to the end. That is the love of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ. And finally, in verses 11 and 12, John writes that God's love is made real and complete when we love each other as God loved us through Jesus Christ. I like that word complete. I like that word complete. Because I think that in the words storge, philia, eros, while they are various and wonderful forms of love, they are not complete. And really, in many ways, I'm not sure outside of Christ, perhaps not even short of this side of glory, will we ever experience complete love. But it is something to which we should strive. Complete love, unconditional love, love that says, as Jesus loved me, that is, as Jesus taught, as Jesus suffered, as Jesus willingly gave himself in total, so we ought to give ourselves to him and to each other. For it is as in we show each other that kind of love that we demonstrate who Christ is to the world. So when we bicker among each other, when we only show limited love like storge and eros and philia, when we say things that we shouldn't, when we hurt one another, when we pass people on the street who need our attention and love, when we love only the lovely, we do not demonstrate the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And if we do not demonstrate that kind of love, then those outside of our circle will not know Jesus Christ. There is no way for the world to know Jesus Christ outside of the love that we show for them. For John, love, unconditional agape love, is the force, the reality, that draws humanity to God and allows humans to love him and to love each other. We are incapable of agape love outside of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? Well, first and foremost, at its very simplest, what John wants us to know is that God loves us. God loves you. God doesn't just love the world as a whole. God doesn't just love this church or this group of individuals. God loves each and every one of us with a love that transcends anything we will ever know. The other thing is that we must love each other unconditionally. One of the things that Ale, more than anyone I met, demonstrated to me was this kind of unconditional love. There was not a person that she met. There was not a place we did not go. There was not an inch in her heart that I could see that did not love others. She was willing to sacrifice retribution and punishment at the hands of some of her own brothers and sisters in the Lord in order to love them in return. Quite frankly, I've never seen that kind of love demonstrated anywhere else. We must love each other unconditionally. And finally, what is important for us to learn through all of that is that we become the visible sign of God's love for the world as we love God and each other. Again, if we do not love God, if we do not love each other as God loves us unconditionally, the world will not know God's love. It will not come to them through osmosis. It will not come to them outside of us expressing that kind of agape love to the world. May each of us, individually and as a body of Christ, first of all, know God's unconditional agape love. May we express it to each other in fellowship and caring, and may we take that from this place into the world so that Christ might be made visible. May that be so. Amen. In closing today, we're going to sing one of those wonderful songs that came out of the 70s that is a song about just this kind of love. And what I'm saying, that they will only know us by our love. They will only know that we are Christians by the kind of love we demonstrate. Let us stand together, and as brothers and sisters in the Lord, sing together. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Thank you.
May you go forth today with a smile on your face. I see a lot of frowns today. Don't leave this place with a frown. This is the week of love. It's Valentine's Day. It's a reminder of love. And let the love of Christ shine through you as you smile, as you share Christ's love with each other and with the world. Leave this place in peace, in joy, in hope, and more than anything, in the love of Christ. May that be so. Amen.
Yeah.